BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Come on, man. You know I only surf Transformers sites when there's girls around so they can see how cool I am.
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, all over where you get your podcasts as well as on the social media feeds at Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck Bean. I'm joined once again this week by Mr. Al Beck.
Yes.
And James.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, fellas. How was your weekend?
That was okay.
All right.
Yeah. Nice Stranger Things shirt, by the way.
Oh, hey,
The two is upside down?
Yeah. No, it's from the second season. I got it at my comic store. They'd sent some of them in there. Yeah.
I get it now because I'm like, that looks like the Stranger Things thing, but it looks like a seven, and it could be some sort of Egyptian like hieroglyph.
Well, I'm celebrating that the third season was announced.
Yeah.
It's
coming up. They just gave you like the titles of the episodes.
Yeah. They're doing a time jump, I believe.
I think it's going to be the summer of 85, it said in the trailer.
Is it because the kids are so old now they got to make it look like they've aged?
You would imagine. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, that's the problem whenever they cast children in The Walking Dead.
It doesn't sound like much of a time jump, though. I thought it was going to be more. I thought it was going to be like, and now here we are 10 years later or something like that.
No.
Not like three. I don't know. Well, as we all well document on this podcast, there's zero attention to detail from me. So
no, definitely not.
Well, you don't need the details.
No.
As long as you got the meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of details, the first thing I want to talk to you guys about is we talked last week about living the Al Beck life.
Yeah.
Did you feel shamed?
God. Oh, my God.
When I called it living the Al Beck life? Because both of you, James and Al, the Avengers trailer dropped last Friday.
First of all, anyone living the Al Beck life should be ashamed of themselves, and you can do better. We'll start with that.
Well, they're hermits, and they probably aren't listening, so.
Well, maybe.
No, we do podcasts.
Yeah.
We can get it over the internets.
Right.
Perfect. Yeah, I guess they can listen to it when they steal the Wi-Fi, when they use the Starbucks bathroom.
Yeah, well, we have the one human interaction when the cable guy comes and hooks you up, and then it's just, you know, all the porn and Netflix you can muster.
That's all you need, porn and Netflix.
Yeah, that's right.
John Lennon got it wrong. It's not all you need to love. All you need is porn and Netflix.
Yeah, and podcasting.
Well, I guess we need the internet, too.
For the porn and the Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a key ingredient.
But you guys posted a reaction video.
We did.
When the Avengers trailer came out, what prompted you guys breaking your Al Beck rule with this Avengers trailer?
I think Al broke because I pretty much begged him. I was like, Al, we got to do this video. You know, the Avengers 4 trailer has been released. And I'm like, and no matter where I go on social media, I'm like, there's stuff about it on Twitter. There's stuff about it on Facebook. Kevin Smith's posting about it on Instagram, pretty much giving you the whole diagram of what exactly it was, all the different things. And people are talking Ronin, and I don't know, like, I'm not familiar with some of the stuff. So I shared it on my social media and I had a couple comments that it's fairly spoiler free.
Right.
So then I convinced Al, I was like, dude, come do this video. Let's do a reaction video. Cause I got to watch it cause I'm just seeing everything everywhere. So otherwise I feel like I'm dodging bullets.
Right.
Everywhere I go, no matter what I'm doing on social media, there's something that's coming up and talking about it. And I was like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Let's see what they have.
So basically the fact that, you know, everything that was in the trailer was already ruined for James without having seen it. So at that point, you might as well
check it out.
The other part of it, too, was he was like, hey, listen, I know you don't really watch trailers. I'm going to do a reaction video. I'd like to have other people in there so I can bounce them off.
Right.
So like maybe you, me and Jason, you know, or just me and Jason.
I like Jason in the background. You were introducing Al. And Jason's like, hey.
Yeah, because Jason originally was supposed to be in it. But he's like, no, dude, I already watched it.
So that was the thing. Jason had already seen it. So it wouldn't have been, you know, a reaction, really.
It wouldn't have been authentic.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was thinking about doing it anyway, just for the sake of, you know, like the podcast and the show and the video and whatever. And then when Jason was out, I was like, all right, well, I'll join you.
I speak for all of the Nerd Radio listeners when I say thank you for your sacrifice.
My sacrifice? My non-reaction? Like, I could not have been more stoic.
I know. You guys seemed very underwhelmed.
Yeah, really. There was nothing.
They're
nothing
really
big
wasn't.
In this trailer. All of, no. Like we said in the video, all it does is remind you who Thanos did not kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it. You know, who's still around.
Who's the survivors. Yeah. And then, you know, there's some weird stuff in Japan with Hawkeye.
So,
and all that.
for me, living the Al Beck lifestyle, it was the best case scenario because I really feel like I know nothing about this movie. There was no, you know, as we discussed in the video and we have on this thing, there was no big Hulk moment from Ragnarok that was spoiled for me, I don't think.
Yeah, see, I feel
unless I'm sitting there watching the movie and I'm like, oh, Ant-Man on the security camera. God damn it. Why did I watch that video?
Yeah, they spend the first hour just showing you Ronan without showing you who Ronan is. And then the mask comes off. You're like, oh, I knew that.
So, yes,
you learned Captain America finally shaved.
Yeah.
He's out of the depression beard.
Well, now I'm not going to watch the movie. Yeah.
That was the two theories I heard coming out of it, because that's just a teaser, really. There's an actual trailer that we'll get in a couple months.
That I probably will not watch.
Probably around Captain Marvel.
The
two theories I heard is that, one, Captain America didn't shave, that possibly Ant-Man traveled back in time.
I was thinking, I wonder if this is a time
travel
thing,
because he's wearing the Winter Soldier gear.
Okay.
And the other thing is, with Hawkeye being Ronan, I think that gives you an idea that most of the Barton family probably turned into dust when Thanos snapped his fingers. Because otherwise, I don't know that Clint would be in Japan wearing a goofy costume and with a bad haircut.
Sure.
Messing up people with a katana.
I wasn't alone in thinking that maybe there was some sort of time travel aspect.
Yeah, I can't remember. I was talking to somebody at the comic store the other day, and they'd said something about time travel. I'm like, I didn't really get that out of it, but I could see how you could.
I love a comic book store idea.
Yeah, like, right.
Of anything. I love it.
That's where you get the pulse of the nerds.
Yeah.
Right there. Is you hang out at the
and
comic store.
That's where the real crackpots hang out and discuss. Yeah.
That's true.
Yes.
The most pointless arguments take place there, and it's enjoyable. It's a lovely time.
Right.
It really is.
Could Goku beat Superman?
Yeah.
The goofiest stuff. Well, the other stuff that happened over the weekend was the Game Awards. The Video Game Awards happened on Thursday night into Friday morning. Red Dead Redemption, huge winner. Best score in music, best audio design, best performance for Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan. God of War also winning Game of the Year.
Okay.
Best game direction and a whole bunch of stuff. Best fighting game was Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z Fighter. Best role-playing game was Monster Hunter. What else was in here? Fortnite got best ongoing game and best multiplayer game. But Overwatch got best esports game.
Really?
Yeah.
I enjoy Overwatch. It's a fun.
For sure.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
I can't believe it. I've played three of those games you just mentioned.
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say, didn't you play the God of War game?
I did.
See, there
I
you
did,
go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of cool stuff. And the real fun part of the Game Awards is, once again, the previews. They always show some trailers of stuff that's supposed to come out in the next year or so.
Anything big stand out?
Do you remember Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
From
like back in the original Xbox and like the PlayStation 2, there was two of them.
No, was it like a fighting game?
There was the X-Men. There was the X-Men Legends games, which were like kind of a top-down like Diablo style game, where you'd have four characters and you could have four of your friends running around and beating up stuff. And then they did the Marvel Ultimate Alliance, so they could use all the Marvel characters. Well, it is back. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 is coming to the Nintendo Switch in 2019.
Look at you sitting pretty with the Nintendo Switch. You're already ready to go.
I know. I'm excited.
It's funny to me because I'm over here like, am I supposed to act like I'm excited or something? I don't even remember the original game.
Like the Marvel Alliance is like that phone app that they try to get you to download and you play. Like you got to pay $7 to be Spider-Man or whatever.
Right. Marvel Ultimate Alliance games lasted right on up to when Marvel gave the license to the one company to do like an MMO. Which we talked about, I think, last year when they shut it down around this time because they were supposed to get it till the end of December, and then they just pulled the plug on it. But because those games were so similar, they stopped doing Marvel Ultimate Alliance on the consoles and did that game for a couple years.
Yeah, I think that game you would try to talk me into downloading it. It was a free to download, right? Yeah.
They had just put it on the PlayStation 4.
And so you came to me like, oh, dude, it's a Marvel game. You got to. And I think I had just downloaded it, and you came in for like the next day, and we're like, don't bother. It's going away.
Yeah, don't bother.
It's been canceled.
Yeah. It's done.
All right. Well, at least I didn't invest. I mean, I literally invested zero time in this.
Right.
I found it on the store and downloaded it. That was it.
The next Far Cry game is coming, Far Cry 5. It's supposed to be post-apocalyptic, so they're taking a little bit of a nod from Fallout.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox in February.
If they do it right, I think that could be a really fun game. I actually enjoyed the Far Cry.
Yeah.
At least I've only played one.
I was going to say, I meant to ask you, with all the Fallout that you've played, if you played Far Cry, because it's similar, but it feels smaller.
Yeah, it's very similar, but it's more, I feel like it's more storyline driven than what Fallout is, because Fallout, you kind of just do your own thing. Nobody gives a crap what you do as long as you just do stuff.
Right.
But like, I played the Far Cry Primal, and that was fun until like my wolf died, and then I was like, okay, I don't have my wolf, so I don't want to be a caveman anymore. I'm going to move on to other things. But I, for whatever reason, I love the idea of being around in a post-apocalyptic environment. Yeah. Like, if the asteroid comes in 5 years, I hope I get to see, like, what's going on afterwards.
Right.
Just so I can live out those fantasies that you have, that maybe you guys don't have, but that I have.
No, I just know I'll never survive the asteroid.
Gotcha.
There's no chance in hell.
I'm hoping for some survival so I can get a crazy, like, hairdo and look like a road warrior from
What we're doing right now is my only skill. I'm not going to survive the apocalypse.
I don't know if we've ever brought this up, but going instead of forward in time, going backwards in time, me and you, especially Al, are huge fans of Westerns.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about the fact that neither one of us would have lasted 5 minutes in the Old West?
No, but I definitely have that fantasy of being like an Old West cowboy. And you know,
I certainly would have been a cowboy. I do not have the endurance and stamina for it.
You'd have been like a farmhand.
I think I'd have been like one of the guys hanging out in the saloon. I probably would have learned the piano.
I would have been shoveling.
You
as a piano player.
Who me, boys?
Right. Exactly.
A shave and a haircut.
I don't think I'm physically built for any of the physicality of the Old West.
Dude, I honestly, now that you bring up playing the piano in a saloon, I totally think you have ancestry that might be like
old timey.
That
might have played the piano saloon. Maybe they were the shave and haircut guy, the barber.
The origin of the shave and haircut.
Yeah, the Bean clan back in the Old West days. Obsidian
Old West Bean.
That sounds like a company you'd buy like refried beans for. Yeah.
Right. No, it's like one of those stores in the mall you go in that has the wood floor and the wooden carved Indian.
Yeah.
It smells like cigars.
Ooh,
when you walk in there.
I like it.
Old West Bean.
You know how to paint a picture, man.
See, there you go. It's the magic of radio.
I don't know what they're selling there, but I'm going to go in.
But yeah, at the very least, just be like, there's Obsidian Entertainment is coming out with a game called The Outer Worlds, which everybody on Twitter was saying is Fallout 76 in space.
Oh, man, they had to compare it to that.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying Fallout, so it sounds like...
I feel like you need to add an echo to that effect. In space!
Space! The big news, Mortal Kombat 11 coming back. We talked about this briefly. We were at the Renegades thing on Sunday, James. The last time I remember being excited about Mortal Kombat was when it was on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, man. Sega Genesis. Like, I just wanted to... You play as Sub-Zero and pull the spinal cord out of somebody. With Mortal Kombat, all I care about is the fatalities. I don't want to fight anybody. I don't want to get good at it. I just
want to see the fatalities.
Yeah. Let's show me this gratuitous animated violence, and then I'm done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
I have zero nostalgia even connected to Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat! The commercials, all the kids are running.
Oh, no, I remember that. Okay. But, no, I don't know, because that one got some publicity, like, as being violent.
Yeah.
And so... Growing up, we played Street Fighter, but
that's
our parents
ask,
drew
you,
the line.
Were you guys
we were
a Street
not
Fighter
allowed.
Household.
It's funny. It's kind of like PUBG Fortnite. Street Fighter would be PUBG Mortal Kombat. Street Fighter would be the Fortnite. PUBG would be Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
You know how many lawns I had to cut to afford that game?
Street Fighter?
No, Mortal Kombat.
Oh, okay.
A lot of lawns got cut.
Yeah.
I think I took a loan out for my mom for $50.
We didn't make the choice, my brother and I. That choice was removed. We were not allowed to play Mortal Kombat.
Right.
So...
Parents were just like not keen to what was going on video game wise. So
yeah, well,
I remember I bought Street Fighter 2, but
parents were involved, and
I rented Mortal Kombat.
You and your involved parents.
Ooh.
I'm Al Beck. My parents were involved.
I was
hung
as a child.
My parents were involved, but I just don't think they gave a crap about what I was doing video game wise.
No, mine were just over.
You think they could see your career arc already? At like 15?
Probably once they busted me.
The
first time I got busted with porn on the screen, probably. Yeah.
Because
I had a long history with
getting in trouble
with pornography. Besides having a magazine in school and then having dad creep up on you with some interracial gangbang stuff on the screen. Back when I wasn't 18, it's tape and Skinamax. I've been busted doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yep. Boy, like, those were the days.
Those were the days. Scrambled porn. Oh, that was.
I think I saw a titty.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We saw
nipples. Oh, my God, that was, it's a boob!
Man, that was gold.
Mm.
I always like to take something out of the episode and make that the title of it. I don't think I'm brave enough to make the title of this episode. I think I saw a titty.
No. No. I can already picture the conversation with the boss. Like,
that's on
our website?
Yeah, right. Right.
We use the term titty. Titty, you know, it rhymes with kitty. It sounds cute.
Right.
You know, it's the nicest way to describe a bosom.
Yeah. Bosom.
A breasticle.
Oh, I love a bosom.
What else did they announce? Oh, Dragon Age. BioWare's next game is Dragon Age.
Mm, okay, yeah.
Those are the guys that make Mass Effect and did the Star Wars, the Star Wars MMO, Knights of the Old Republic.
Is Dragon Age already a, like a series?
There's three of them already.
Okay, I think
so
I have
talking
a Dragon
about a
Age
one.
That I've never actually put in the Xbox One.
I've played like 5 minutes of a Dragon Age, and I love BioWare games, mm-hmm. but it's just a matter of, it's one of those games that I know is going to be a huge time sink.
Yeah, I feel bad. My girlfriend got it for me, I think, for Christmas or years back, and I was like, I'm sorry, I know it's going to consume all this time that I don't have.
Yeah. Right.
I think I had a copy that I got for free from the radio station.
Oh, there you go.
And I played for 5 minutes.
Wait a minute, we can get games for free?
Yeah, well, I got a couple a few times, but...
Well, let's put it this way. The games that they usually give the radio station are not the games people are buying.
Oh, well,
no.
Right.
No, occasionally, if you're into sports games, they'll usually give us like the new MLB or something like that.
I think
like
I got hooked up with Alien. Was it Alien?
Yeah. There was Alien 3 I got from here once. I never played it.
360. I played it, and then it scared the bejesus out of me, and I'm done. I don't do scary games.
So, oh, really?
I'm the biggest bitch when it comes to like scary video games.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'll try playing them. Like, right. I'll still play them, especially if I'm on Twitch. I'll play on stream just to hopefully get some jump scares.
Right, that's part of the fun of streaming is a lot of guys, like I mentioned Markiplier last week, like he made his career on Five Nights at Freddy's because that game is all about jump scares.
Yeah,
because I'm going,
I hate looking like a bitch, and those games put me in my place. They absolutely do.
Yeah.
As much fun as they are, like... I'm just sitting there with my butthole clenched the whole time. You know,
I don't even do scary movies. I can't do a scary game because it's more you're actually playing it.
Yeah,
you're a little
like
more into it. Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Well, at the same time, and it also feels like you have a little bit more control. You're not yelling at a character going, "Don't go in the room." Yeah. He's in the room.
Yeah. Don't smoke weed and have sex. They're gonna kill you next.
Right,
you dummy. You haven't seen Scream. You know the rules.
Well, like I said, the Game Awards happened on Thursday night, which was the midnight release for a lot of places for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate on the Switch. And they also at the Game Awards announced that Joker from Persona 5, which is a game I've been playing for the last year and a half because it takes me forever to play role-playing games, is coming to Smash Bros. As one of the downloadable characters, which is super cool. I don't know that I've talked about Persona with James in the room before. Persona is essentially Final Fantasy for people that Final Fantasy wasn't anime enough for.
Oh, wasn't anime enough?
Yes.
Oh my god!
Like Persona, any more anime than
Persona?
Final Fantasy.
Typically takes place with your characters around high school age, so you spend a lot of time. You have to plan out your day. You go to school, and sometimes they ask you a trivia question that you have to answer to get a bonus point in your intelligence, something like that. And then you have some spare time where you can either go in the dungeons and fight monsters, or you can hang out with your friends and increase your social links.
And I thought it was crazy that I have to like cook a steak and drink boiled water and take a disease curing ointment and Fallout 76.
But it'll be cool to see that Smash Brothers game. I think it has like 76 characters in it.
Does it have that many?
I bought it on Friday and I've only unlocked like 10.
Holy cow. So how many do they give you like right off the bat?
I give you 6 or 8 of them.
Okay.
They give you like Kirby, Yoshi, Mario, the basics kind of stuff.
Like the classics.
Like, yeah, like Solid Snake from Metal Gear Solid is in there because he was in an old... Every character that's ever been in a Smash Brothers game is in this game.
Okay.
So like Cloud from Final Fantasy VII is in there.
I know the big deal was it Ripley from Metroid? I know.
Yeah, one
was
of the
like...
monsters from Metroid is in there for the first time.
Yeah.
And there's a couple others that... and then they're going to release downloadable content throughout the year with an extra character. And the first one looks like it's going to be one of my guys from Persona 5. So,
well, we know what you're spending your
money
on.
That's exciting.
Your Christmas loot.
Yeah. You know, I went and I got Smash Brothers and just real quickly played it with Amy Friday and we had a good time. And then played it over the weekend by myself and realized, oh, yeah, I suck at fighting games. I forgot that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of fun until I come up with against somebody who's really good at fighting games, and I'm not going to have a good time anymore.
You're just going to keep beating your girlfriend at it. Hey, you want to play Smash Brothers?
Yeah. Smash Brothers?
Want to play Smash Brothers?
Smash Brothers?
Smash Brothers?
And then
Brothers?
She gets good at it and starts beating you.
Yeah.
She's like, you want to play Smash Brothers? You're like, nah,
no, not anymore.
I'm still playing this level on Persona 5.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a big exam I got to prep for in Persona 5.
All right, well, that's...
a video game exam.
That's all the big news that I got for this week. We're going to have Erica in. We're going to talk about some wrestling. We got WWE TLC coming up this Sunday.
Yeah.
And we got more Nerd Radio. It is on the way, folks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This just in. Flash. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. America and all ships at sea. Nerd Radio is taking the country by storm.
This is Nerd Radio.
Welcome back. More Nerd Radio for you wherever you get your podcast, whether it's on, I think we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify now, Podbean, anywhere you get it, or, you know, on the websites, WRF.com, and also on your social media, Nerd Radio 101. James, still hanging out with us in the studio. I ask you
Can't
real,
get rid of me.
No, I ask you a real dumb question before we started this segment. You want to talk about some Ghostbusters?
Yeah, put my drink right back down, and I sat my ass right back in the chair. I was like, we're going to talk Ghostbusters? Let's go.
Our own Kenny hanging out with us in the... you know, I asked Kyle the last time I had him on if he wanted, like, a nickname or something like that. Is Kenny good, or do you want, like, should we give you some kind of cool nickname?
I don't know. We could always go by PBK, where everybody else calls me.
There you go, PBK. I'm writing that down.
I'm going to call you K-Money.
K-Money! Kenny, you were telling us the last time we had you in here that there's... I remember seeing the previews for this. When it was supposed to be, when they were working out, when they were coming out, and completely lost track of the fact that they were making a Ghostbusters game for the phones.
Yep, just like Pokemon Go and Ingress out there.
Give us the 411.
Basically, of course, you know, like how Pokemon Go is, you get outside, walk around, catch Pokemon. Well, in this case, we're busting ghosts and keeping them in our, you know, ecto containment unit,
right,
as they call it.
Now, I downloaded it to try it out, and it's pretty cool because it's a little bit more involved than Pokemon Go, where you're just, like, you're throwing a berry to the Pokemon and then, like,
and you come in hot, too, on the Ecto-1.
Yeah, which is cool.
Every time you boot it up, here he comes.
Right, if you've got the VR camera up, then you have to use the PKE meter to find the ghost in the room, which is super fun, and then you got to, you have to zap him with the proton pack.
Could you imagine walking around here with that?
Whoa, with an actual poking
people like Egon did.
Oh,
poking people.
Right.
Do it to Mark. Start poking Mark in the film. Oh, my God.
Oh, Ken would hate it, too.
Oh, or Ken.
Ken would not be pleased. What are you doing? But, I'm looking for ghosts.
Yeah, they got all kinds of ghosts, like, from the movies, even more from the cartoon. Like, any little ghost that was represented in the Ghostbusters franchise is in this game,
which is super cool that they, you know, delved into the cartoon as well as the movies.
Oh yeah,
I think one of the second or third ghosts I saw was one of the Scolari brothers from Ghostbusters 2. I was like, oh cool,
that's awesome.
Oh yeah, I tried to get him and failed.
Now it's also the thing that I haven't gotten to check out, but much like Pokemon Go, is it's got what do they call them, gyms in Pokemon.
Yep, they got dimensional gates where of course you get experience points, extra traps. Like, they got different variations of traps. You got your regular trap, which is the standard one, the advanced to kind of get the harder ghosts, and then the maximum, which, you know, of course, is once you level up more, the ghosts get harder to catch.
Right.
And, you know, anything else like, you know, ecto crystals, you know, Ghostbuster points, so you can kind of upgrade your stuff as well as buy outfits. Now, since they recently updated, they threw in the real Ghostbusters cartoon uniforms.
Oh, excellent.
Each person's uniform.
Because I saw at the very beginning, you can either have the traditional Ghostbusters outfit or you can have the Answer the Call Ghostbusters outfit.
And also Ghostbuster 2, the black outfit.
Right.
Yep.
Man, you guys have put some time in on this game.
Oh, I was looking through, man.
That was cool because I'm like, I did the tutorial.
Five whole minutes, man. Yeah, it's the same thing. Tutorial and then kind of donked around a little bit and I was like, oh, that's cool.
And I saw there's a ghost outside the building. I'm like, well, I'm not leaving the building because it's about 20 degrees outside. So I'm
just going to
put the phone down and continue working.
Right. Yeah, they also got different versions of the packs. The traditional one, the one from the female movie.
Yep.
A little kid's one, which I don't know where that one's from. And then you got the one from the cartoon.
Yeah.
From the real Ghostbusters, which is cool.
What are you rocking? What are you wearing?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I got the 84 outfit with the traditional pack.
Look at you. Classic. It's a classic Buster.
I want the Ghostbuster 2 outfit, though. I want that black outfit.
Dude, I'd probably go cartoon. I'd go real Ghostbusters cartoon outfit. That's what I'd go with.
Yeah, cartoon is pretty cool. Like, I went for the Answer the Call outfit, and I really like the proton packs from Answer the Call. So
really?
I thought they looked
neat. Like something out of Scrapbusters to me.
They do look very steampunk. I think that's part of why I like it, because it looks like they just fused a bunch of junk together.
Oh, yeah. But also, you got bosses to fight, too.
Like, right.
That's you got Gozer, Vigo, State Puff. Now, which I found out for the boss fights, there are solo ones, and then there's multiplayer ones.
Okay, so it is, once again, I guess this is made by the same people who made Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
So the game itself, like all the nuts and bolts of the game, very similar, but it's using a different license.
Yeah, so say like we all turned ours on and we see, oh, Vigo's here.
Right.
And it's a multiplayer. I can create a room, have you guys jump in, and we all battle Vigo.
That's awesome.
And get the experience and catch them.
Nice.
And do we all get to keep them in our containment center?
That's one thing
like,
I'm wondering.
It still has like the Pokemon thing. You want to catch them all type
right,
thing?
So right.
You want to make sure you got your little checklist. Yeah, we got Vigo. We got the Scolari brother. We got
right.
the boogeyman.
Yeah.
The cartoon with the big head and the weird legs.
Right. Oh, yeah. Or Sam Hain, the
yes!
pumpkin guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy was
man,
crazy.
Back memories.
Yeah, for sure. I think they just put the cartoon back on Netflix, too.
Oh, is it really? Because I have it on DVD, so. But I'm like, yeah, it takes a lot of work to get it from Papa
I remember, like, a couple years ago, it was on Netflix. I'm like, oh, this is cool, and then they took
That's
it off,
I bought
and
Venom
I was real
last night.
Yeah.
I paid $20. I was like, I'm watching it tonight. Screw it. As soon as I got home from the bar, popped that on. Didn't make it past 15 minutes.
Yeah, there it is. Real Ghostbusters. Bam.
Oh, man.
Well, all the seasons.
I
all five
have a reason
seasons.
To use my Netflix again.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Usually I just spend all my time going through to find something interesting to watch. I'm like, ah, no, seen it. No,
I know. That's
no,
that's
no,
a weird
no,
phenomenon,
is
isn't it?
No,
oh, yeah.
No, no.
You just spend more time scrolling through Netflix going, maybe.
You know, Ghostbusters 2 is a New Year's movie, too.
That's true.
Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
So there we go.
For sure. We were talking at the beginning of the show, too, about the video game awards. You checked those out, right?
Yeah, actually, I didn't get a chance to, per se, watch them, but, I mean, I was able to see who won what.
Right.
And, of course, Game of the Year goes to God of War.
God of War, yeah, that's what we talked about. It got, like, three or four different things. Did you play it?
God of War, I've played a bunch of God of Wars, but I didn't play this newest one.
Okay.
Because I don't have my PS4 anymore.
Oh.
So I want to get that so I can play that one.
Right.
Lost it in a custody battle?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to my Xbox One X when it came out.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
Traded my Switch and my PlayStation 175.
Right.
Walked out with a brand new Xbox One.
He wants to watch
one.
His video games in high definition. He wants to see the pimples on the butts when he's watching.
Right. As soon as I get that TV.
Were there any of the winners that you were like, you were super... super excited about? You were like, oh, that's totally, that's well deserved.
Some of the nominees for Game of the Year was impressive, which a lot of people were speechless on a couple of them that could have won but didn't.
Who are some of the nominees? We might have discussed it, but
Yeah, we just talked about the winners.
I probably smoked that away.
For Game of the Year, they had the nominees was Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Spider-Man, Monster Hunter World, Red Dead Redemption 2, and Callisti, and of course
Celeste. Yeah, it's a platformer. It's almost an indie game.
Oh, okay. So yeah, and of course, God of War 1. I don't see why not, because that's one of Sony's top franchise games to play.
It was interesting because I saw that Spider-Man 2 Spider-Man was nominated for a bunch of stuff but didn't really win anything, and somebody online had said that that's probably because it's a Sony exclusive game. Like, if it would have been for everything,
all the platforms,
right,
PC, all that
might
stuff,
it might have been more well recognized,
but people might not know.
Yeah, it was a toss-up, honestly, from what I was reading between Spider-Man and Red Dead 2, but they said Red Dead 2 probably wouldn't make it because it's fairly new, it just came out,
right?
You know, at least give it some time.
But it still ended up walking away with like three or four awards.
Yeah, like Red Dead Redemption 1 before it. As soon as it came out, it got Game of the Year half the time.
Well, I'm glad Red Dead 2 didn't win Game of the Year when you went over the winners. Because I was
like,
come on, it's been out like a month.
Yeah, that's always
game
weird.
Game of the Year after all. Get out of here.
That's always, it's like the like any award show, like when a movie or, you know, an album just came out and it's already
and
nominated.
They win.
Like,
get
like,
out of
what
here.
What is this?
Yeah. There's no way.
Best ongoing game, Destiny 2, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, Overwatch, and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. Of course, Fortnite has
won.
That was
one of the ones Fortnite won, I believe.
Yeah, I was like, of course.
Was there any of the, we talked about the announcements too, that were, of the games that were coming out. What were some of the games that they announced that were coming out that you were like, oh, hell.
Oh, of course, I know you've seen on my Facebook, Mortal Kombat 11.
Okay.
That trailer, I loved it.
We found somebody. Looking forward to it.
Somebody, yeah, because when we talked about it earlier, we were more of a Street Fighter 2 room than a Mortal Kombat room.
Don't get me wrong. Yes, I'm both. I like both.
Right.
I grew up with both. So, you know.
But that's cool. Super psyched for.
Yeah, just the trailer. You see Evil Raiden and Scorpion going at it.
Wait, so there's a different, there's two different Raidens now? Yeah. There's an evil Raiden?
Well, Raiden or has he, does turn
he's
evil.
He's turned heel. Raiden's turned heel.
Yeah, he can. Okay.
He kicks somebody in the nuts.
Or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
He still is, but
that's
he's
why the lightning was red.
Know.
I'm like, why is his lightning red? I think
it was actually an X in the story, too, at one point that he turned evil, but it was, you know, by force.
I can't believe there's 11 Mortal Kombat games.
I know. But they said this one's going to be more gory and just about as good as X.
That's cool.
And the first person that they've already released that made the roster as well is Noob Saibot.
Okay.
He is the first person so far that's on the roster.
They haven't announced any like guys that aren't Mortal Kombat guys,
like one
of the games. Yeah,
right.
Freddy Krueger, the Predator,
nothing like
or anything
that,
crazy
yet.
Like that.
Usually when it gets close to the game release, they do something like that.
Right.
Kind of like Injustice, you know, they just kept going after that.
Exactly.
Like Ninja Turtles was the last one to get in Injustice.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I think it's cool that you can.
It was hard at
Raphael.
First, like, to figure out, like, how am I going to get the other ones? But you just change their weapons, and then
it's like the DC fighting game. You can put Ninja Turtles in it.
Yeah,
they put them in as downloadable content.
They even put Hellboy in it.
Oh wow!
Yeah, you can have Hellboy versus Batman.
I'm not a fighting game guy because we own, I think, Injustice, and we don't.
Yeah,
it's just a very expensive
mash.
Coaster,
right?
But yeah, I mean that I heard that coming out, and of course. Seeing more clips of Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, the remake of Resident Evil 2.
Oh, I just, when I seen the Titan, it's like, I'm sold.
I forgot he was in the second game.
Yeah, the big old Titan that you can't beat half the time. You just knock him down and run.
In the trench coat, you have to shoot with the missiles.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I remember Resident Evil 3, like, it was all about Nemesis. It was all about, oh crap, it's that guy. I gotta knock him down and get away from him. I had completely forgotten that there was a version of him in the second game.
Yeah. And
Resident Evil 2 is the game that broke me with scary games.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was the game. I was sick. I was playing it. I was home with the chicken pox. I was playing it. And it scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
That's how I felt with 7.
Like, oh my God. Ever since then, when I play a scary game, I like to have company.
2 was the one that had the one door that you opened up and there was a zombie behind it.
Yeah.
And it was the same room, so like, you know, because it's a little ancient in retrospect to what we have now, but that was their like, well, every time you open the door, you feel like it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a couple minutes before you might have to fight a zombie or a dog or something like that. Yeah. So let's just put a zombie behind the door. Yeah.
Like my buddy's got PlayStation VR. We played Resident Evil 7 and
it's got to be horrifying.
I was like peeking around door corners because I knew where there was a monster was. So.
Oh, man.
My brief experience with VR, I was like, I don't ever want to play a horror game like this.
Oh, I loved it after that, even though he was like, dude, you're shaking. I'm like, I know.
That's
because I feel like I'm in my real life horror right now.
I want to try a horror game with VR because I've been looking at bundles. I'm like, I want the Doom bundle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to really torture myself.
Hear the whispers.
Put on my diaper. Oh, is that crazy? You hear all that stuff?
When I played it on Xbox 360 and I first got my Turtle Beaches. I was hearing whispering.
Like, whispers in your headset.
I'm like, anybody talking to me?
Oh, man.
But it was crazy. You hear some demonic things in that game.
Yeah, for sure.
But also finding out that Mortal Kombat 11 comes out in January.
Yeah, that was
that close.
There was a couple of games that are like, hey, February. Hey, January.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
It's like, we're kind of pretty close here, aren't we?
Amazing that they could sit on that information, you know, and keep it quiet that long.
Yeah, exactly.
And
especially
then all of a sudden,
while making. It's like they're doing the George Lucas thing.
Right.
Hey, we're doing Star Wars again. That's it. No details or nothing.
That was a thing I didn't bring up when we were talking earlier, is that Epic Games is releasing their own, I don't want to
like
say streaming
store?
Service, but like you've got Steam.
They're going up against Steam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's... It's not like a subscription service thing, so it's not like you have to pay X amount of dollars a month.
You just go there and download the games that you want, right?
It was like Battlefield. You can rent a server from them so you and your friends can have it, enjoy a game.
But it also feels really strange for them to continue to fragment that stuff. Like, you know, there's Battle.net, which is Blizzard's service that you can get, you know, World of Warcraft and Overwatch and stuff through. And then there's Steam. And then there's, Origin is the EA service that was the first one to be like, hey, we're going to do our own thing. And it feels really weird to... It feels like the console wars on the PC.
Yeah, see,
where it's like, I've got the game. Because there's certain games that are like, I've got Destiny on Battle.net, but you've got Destiny on Steam, so I don't know if we can play them together.
Right.
Kind of thing.
I remember back then, and none of that existed. You just had the game and got on.
Yeah.
And, you know, your friend even made one, or you're sitting there speakerphoning with your buddy, you know,
right.
Okay, I'm in this room. All right, found it, boom.
The dark times of gaming.
Yeah, now you got all these services.
Right. It has made it easier, at least, to you know, the connectivity.
Yeah, which like I believe World of Warcraft is the one that kind of opened that gate with, you know, hey, we got our own services. Okay, more companies. Let's have our own service.
Right.
Like the whole streaming. Disney's got going to have their own streaming, you know, and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
DC's got one. WWE.
Right. It's also strange to me, something I wanted to bring up with a couple gamers in the room, that it seems like a lot of games that we're getting on the consoles that become a big deal have their life cycle start on the PC.
Yeah.
Like the one that comes to mind the most is Undertale, which I don't know if either of you guys have any experience with Undertale, but Undertale was on Steam and it was a huge deal. And now it's on like the Nintendo Switch. You can get it on the PlayStation. I think it's on the Xbox market for like 10 or 15 bucks. And it feels like the computer has turned into the testing ground for the last, well, Fortnite and PUBG had their start on the PC.
Half-Life.
Yeah.
That's the one I always played the most.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I almost feel like game developers wait to see what the reaction is. As I feel like more like hardcore dedicated gamers are on PC.
Right.
Like more of your casual gamers have consoles or whatever. And that's coming from somebody I consider myself a casual gamer.
Right.
You know, I'm not into it like some
hence
people
the
are.
Hence the show.
Exactly.
On RIFT
TV. Yes. So I think that once they see how the sales do, what kind of a reaction that they're getting, how full the servers are, all that kind of stuff, then they're like, well, can we translate this into dollars on the other systems?
Right.
And that's when they start putting out like different betas or whatever to try to test the waters on that.
I'm sure it's been like that for a long time, but it feels like I see more and more games end up like that.
Yeah, there's actually
I mean,
a couple
like,
more.
The Sims. I remember The Sims was it was a PC-only game.
Right.
I was bootlegging the software back in the day, playing The Sims, trying to get my characters to hook up in the hot tub.
In school, playing Sim Townsend City.
Yeah, and then now it's like it's all
now
like,
you can play it on your phone.
Console. Yeah. Phone. It's everywhere.
I actually had a lady come into GameStop and go, "You got Sin City for the Wii?" I'm like, "No, that was never a Wii game. Just The Sims now." She's like, "Oh, I remember that back in the day." Trust me, I do too. I miss playing Sim Town.
Yep. But
I showed my niece that game because I still have the disc. And she was just, I can make my own town?
Do you want to hear something really nerdy? When the Super Nintendo came out, the Christmas I got the Super Nintendo, out of all the launch games that I could have got, I asked my parents to get me SimCity.
SimCity was a blast.
SimCity was a lot of fun.
It was fun. You put the cheat code in too much for all that cash and the earthquake would come.
Yeah, and then I was like, all right, cool. I don't have to worry about not having enough cash to do stuff.
Yeah, you put the cheats in all at the beginning. So that way the earthquake destroys nothing.
Did that in class. It was like one of my stations, SimTown.
Yeah. Yeah, that was always fun too.
How'd you make your town so fast? I made a lot of money.
Yeah. I'm a businessman.
Yeah. Oh, my building's on fire. Send the fire department.
We have four of them.
Yeah.
Well, we are absolutely going to have to, we're going to have to group up. Can you make teams in Ghostbusters world? Going back to what we started
talking
about?
Actually, yeah, I've seen people have their own little clans and everything.
We're
going
to have to make a Rift clan.
The Rift Ghostbusters.
For Ghostbusters world, so we can all fight Gozer together at one of these
points. Look out, Great Lakes Ghostbuster Coalition. We're coming.
Yeah, right.
Uh-oh.
I wouldn't be surprised if they play it, too.
Exactly.
Those guys live Ghostbusters almost as a reality.
I actually know a couple
like
of
the
them.
Prop backpacks and everything.
Every weekend
I have a couple of
the,
their numbers.
Yeah.
Every weekend they're taking the Ecto out to some convention somewhere.
Parade,
or something.
Especially around the holidays.
Yeah, they're at the Garden City Parade.
Yeah, see, there you go. They got to be playing it.
They stopped at my house, too. I woke up, I got Ghostbusters on my front lawn. My dad was like, there's Ghostbusters in front of the house. And I'm like, oh, no, they didn't tell me they were coming.
Like a childhood fantasy come true.
Yeah, like, I know those guys.
The Ghostbusters are here!
Ghostbusters are here!
And they're not here to sing the song like Dan Aykroyd and Winston had to do.
Yeah. I actually had my friends driving by or stopping for the parades like, there's Ghostbusters in front of your house. And I'm like, I know. That's awesome to wake up to, isn't it?
Great?
But where's Venkman? I need him.
Yes.
We got to talk.
Good luck getting a hold of Venkman.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Kenny, well, thanks for stopping in.
No, no
problem. Definitely we'll be playing some Ghostbusters and playing a lot more games heading into the new year.
Hell yeah.
So, Nerd Radio, coming back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
All right, welcome to some more Nerd Radio for you here. It's time for some Squared Circle Round Table. Erica, are you doing some calisthenics over there?
Yeah, light stretching. I worked out yesterday, and I'm a little...
nice.
Things are a little toit.
She's got a lot to say.
You're right.
She's got some heavy opinions on wrestling today.
Yep, she's doing some stretches.
She's ready to prepare.
James and Erica sitting in for some Squared Circle Round Table action. This week, we've got WWE tables, ladders, and chairs coming up, and not a great build towards tables, ladders, and chairs. Before we started, James, you were like, I don't even remember.
So this week going into Raw and SmackDown, I'm like, I got to pay attention to what's going on so I know what I'm going to watch on Sunday and what we're going to talk about on Wednesday.
Right.
And I blew it. I completely blew it.
That's okay, because at the very least, Monday Night Raw has been extremely lackluster the last month or so.
Raw has been just piss poor. To the point where, my husband and I will go, do we even want to watch SmackDown? I was like, no, we can't let SmackDown, which has been consistent the entire year, we can't let them suffer because Raw has been crap.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oof. It's been rough.
It's very strange that it feels, some weeks it feels like night and day.
Yeah.
You get to the end of a Monday night and you're like, man, why do I still do this? And you get to the Tuesday night and you're like, that was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like, what, before the last pay-per-view or whatever they want to call it, which I don't know why they still call them pay-per-views.
Cause yeah.
They stream.
You got to pay $10 for a monthly subscription instead of the $50 just for that one thing. But anyways, they had all that build-up with Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch.
And it was like, oh, my God.
And this is going to be great.
Ladders and chairs. I'm like,
meh.
This could be, like, epically awesome. I mean, the matches revolve around ladders and table, like all the stuff that people get hurt. And I'm like, okay, cool. Rollins is going to fight Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, okay. That should be a ladder match, and it's not.
That's the only one I asked, too. Like, is it like the Hell in the Cell?
Right.
Because I thought every match that happens at Hell in the Cell is in the damn cage.
Nope.
And then I'm like, there's two matches.
Right.
Why do you call this Hell in the Cell, then? Like, I don't know, like.
James, don't ask WWE to make sense, because once you start doing that, that's when the insanity kicks in.
It's just deceptive. It's like you go to the grocery store and there's a price tag on the item and they charge you more than the price tag. You get a reward. You know, the WWE is setting up a pay-per-view called Hell in the Cell. You show up. There's only two Hell in the Cell matches. Yeah. I want a reward.
I just want to point out the broad difference between James being furious and us two just being broken, battered, and abused by these wrestling promotions. Just going, same crap as always.
It doesn't make sense.
We're just beaten.
You guys have been into it for a while.
You have feelings, and I admire it. Like, I'm like, I wish I was there still. I'm just like, I'm watching this program because
I remember those days.
Because it's a habit now. It's like smoking. You want to quit, but you can't.
A little bit.
Yeah,
man,
I hope
there's not wrestling cancer. That'd be awful.
There should be a wrestling patch, though.
It should be.
Seriously. Wrestling cancer just like body slams your lungs. DDT your kidneys. I got the sharp pain. It must be that wrestling cancer.
Well, let's run down what we do have to look forward to. I think it's another one of those, if you set the bar low enough, then you could be very impressed.
Yes.
Kind of cards. Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton in a chairs match. Don't know that I care about that.
Not even slightly.
Natalya and Ruby Riott having the tables match. The buildup for this has been all right.
I really wish they would stop abusing and exploiting the death of Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yeah.
It's just so incredibly tacky.
It does feel a little. There are things that feel over the line, but wouldn't have felt over the line back in the Attitude Era.
Well, because, remember...
I mean,
remember,
the Big Show rode his dad's coffin.
Those were different times, though, okay? They were far tackier times. This is 2018.
It's still real funny.
Anytime you bring up a death of a family member, I'm like, you're kind of killing the vibe, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of killing the vibe right now. Whether you're smashing sunglasses or you got a life-size cardboard cutout taped to a table, like, maybe that's... Not bring up the dead family members.
It's the lowest of the hanging fruit. And it's like,
true.
Try harder, please. Thank you.
The ladder match, actually, is Elias and Bobby Lashley with a guitar suspended above the ring.
That is not a ladder match. That is a guitar on a pole match that they're adding a ladder to. So stop it. Whoever in booking's like, no, I got it. They'll buy it. No, we won't. It's a guitar on a pole match. Maybe I do have feelings still.
Does the winner have to get the guitar and smash it over the opponent's head to win?
Whoever gets the guitar can use it as a weapon.
Yes.
I guess is the
rules. But is it still a pinfall?
I don't think you win if you smash him with a guitar, but the guitar is going to be the high spot.
That would be great.
Yes, the first person to get the guitar smashed over their head.
Right.
I'm in.
Right.
But, like, Bobby Lashley bores me. He's got his little minion who does all the jibber jabber and the yakety yak that drives me nuts. And then, like,
he's a 24-year-old piece of gold.
You know, Walk with Elias. I get what WWE actually stands for, but it's not Walk with Elias. You suck at guitar, okay? Like,
Just
shut up, Elias.
James, he's gotten exponentially better than when he first started. Like,
that's
it's
true.
Almost kind of impressive how much he's improved.
Oh my
so you got to give the man credit for committing to his gimmick and actually improving.
And the thing is, too, like, I want to, like, hate on Elias for playing guitar and saying he sucks, but I feel like that's what he wants. Like,
I feel
like that's the whole put on.
He wants
to piss people off with how bad he is at guitar.
He's trying
so then
to
I'm like,
his...
I'm falling for it. Hook, line, and sinker. You suck at guitar, Elias. Knock it off. And then I'm like, that's what he wants. So I just gave him what he wanted. So I just got to keep my mouth shut.
Right.
If you suck at guitar, Elias isn't the name of this episode, I'm going to be very upset. I'm like, boom, we got the name.
I might get to interview Elias someday. I don't know that I want to have to answer to
this. You don't have to show him this episode. You know, they're not going to go through. He's probably doing so many interviews, and I could be like, let's see. Okay,
he's not going to go through the archive.
From the Nerd Radio 101, Riff 2. Okay, we got the.
Oh, this is the guy.
Oh, I suck at guitar.
Suck at guitar.
You put you in a full Nelson. I think you'll be okay.
He's a large man.
Trust me, I said some very mean things about The Undertaker that I thought was going to come back to bite me in the ass when I was doing the commentary with Matt Stryker.
Well, yeah, there you go.
I need to know what you said about The Undertaker afterwards.
Right.
Just making a Bernie's joke about anytime WWE needs to get into another country.
Nice. As we mentioned before, Seth Rollins going to fight Dean Ambrose. This has a pretty good build going into it, but it's just a singles match for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, okay.
It'll be
just a single. There's no stipulation. It's
no
just,
tables, no ladders, no chairs.
Especially with a guy like Ambrose, who kind of made his early career on just, you know, the
light bulb tubes.
The garbage match, quote unquote.
Tacks.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Another singles match, Finn Balor and Drew McIntyre. Finn Balor apparently sick this week, which is why he wasn't on Raw. So whatever he's got, a little bit of touch of flu or something like that.
Yeah, wrote the headline that he might be questionable for Sunday.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that's my girl's,
That's the guy.
Besides me, that's her man,
That's
you know?
The abs guy.
Finn Balor. Yeah, damn, he looks good, too.
Like, right.
It's every girl's man.
For sure.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I hope he comes out as the demon, though. Like, I wish he was the demon character more than just... I'm a hunky Finn Balor, you know? Hey, look at how good I look with my shirt off.
They've been playing that commercial for Christmas for, like, WWE Shop where, like, it's just the rapping, and then he comes through the rapping, and they play the thing. And Amy was like, I would welcome that as a Christmas gift. And I told her, I would hope it was labeled because I don't know who it's for.
Yeah.
It might be for me.
Yeah, that's true.
I would also welcome Finn Balor
Balor's
for Christmas.
Finn Balor's for everyone. Okay?
He is
for everyone.
He's for everyone, Amy.
That's right. AJ Styles is going to fight Daniel Bryan. That should be a killer match. Those guys are both great.
Do you think, though, it could potentially end with a kick to the nuts?
Yes, absolutely.
I know, but, like, once again, lowest of the hanging fruit. It's been done. Can we at least just have them go? Just let them go.
Let them
do anything that they want in the ring.
Yeah, you would hope so. You would hope so, especially on a card between Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. That's on the Raw side is the, like, this is going to be a good match kind of match. I think Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles is on the SmackDown side that. A match that I don't have high expectations for is Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax.
Ugh.
Not real stoked about this. Can only hope that maybe Becky has a little something to interfere in that match or something because I need something.
Is it for the title?
It is for the Raw Women's title.
Becky
costs Ronda the title or something. Something.
Ooh,
something.
That would be fun, actually.
That's a great idea.
I like that a lot.
I'll be creative listening to that one. I'm sick of hearing about that damn right hand. I'm like, hey, you got lucky.
I know.
It was an accident. Now you're trying to capitalize on.
Right.
Last week, too, not to get too deep into it, but last week, Nia blew out the microphone during her promo by screaming into it. She was just
really?
Like, and the microphone just maxed out and distorted and everything like that.
Hilarious.
And I was like, well, that's dumb. She did it again this week. So apparently that's her thing now is to deliver a really boring promo and lull you into sleep and then scream into the microphone and blow it out, which I didn't do.
It's just upsetting. All of it's so upsetting.
On the SmackDown side, and a match that I probably have the highest of hopes for, is the Tables, Ladders, and Chairs match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, and Asuka. Probably the three top talents on that show. Vlad Asuka is added to the mix.
Did you hear why she got added to the mix?
Rumors? I read that it was because when they had the Battle Royal a couple weeks ago, like the crowd really popped for Asuka, and somebody backstage was like, oh, people like her.
Well, it wasn't necessarily the Battle Royal. It was when Becky had to choose the opponent of who would face Ronda at Survivor Series.
Right.
When Asuka got that big pop, allegedly people were like, oh, they like her.
Right.
Okay. Of course we like the tough Japanese woman who could kill people.
Somebody needs to inform them that we really liked Shinsuke Nakamura over a year ago, too.
I know. Another awesome Japanese person who could kill people.
Right. Speaking of SmackDown, they've also got, I didn't want to leave this out, a triple threat tag team match between The Bar, The New Day, and The Usos. Did you guys watch SmackDown last night?
I did.
I fell asleep.
Did you see? They had a wrap-off between The Bar and The Usos.
Oh, and I wanted to see that! I forgot about the wrap-off!
Sheamus came out in a bucket hat with a slit in it so that his mohawk could stick through.
Oh, I love it.
It was amazing. I hope there's an action figure.
Oh, God.
You get like New Year's Eve Sheamus.
Yep.
A little bow tie, like a Chippendales bow tie with the top hat.
Well, that was the other thing. The New Day came out in like tuxedos, but both Xavier and Kofi weren't wearing shirts on their tuxedos.
Perfect. That's the best kind of tuxedo to wear.
But Big E was fully dressed.
He looked actually very nice.
He's very dapper.
Yeah.
Very dapper. Oh, and they're doing the mixed match challenge finals at the thing as well. The Fabulous Truth. R-Truth and Carmella facing Mahalisha, Jinder Mahal, and Alicia Fox.
That's the final.
I hadn't watched the episode yet.
Wow.
So that's a bit of a spoiler for me. But yeah, they had to replace Finn Balor this week. It was Finn and Bayley against Jinder and Alicia, and it went from, those guys are going to get number 30 in the Royal Rumble, those guys are totally winning it, to Bayley's not winning this match. She's got Apollo Crews as a partner. They're not going to put Apollo Crews as number 30 in the Royal Rumble. Not that it matters. Not that number 30 is, you know, like a guaranteed victory at the Royal Rumble, but still.
Hey, good for them for getting booked.
I guess we got
a paycheck.
Yeah, I guess
that's
we got
great.
A lot more dance breaks from R-Truth and Carmella in our future.
Score.
To look forward to.
Can they learn
to
a different move besides flossing? Come on.
Didn't they just steal all their dances from Fortnite?
Yeah.
They just do all the
Fortnite
dances.
Stole the dances from everybody else because hence the lawsuit from that rapper or whatever. But yeah, so everybody's just stealing dances from everybody.
Yeah.
Come up with your own original dance. But I feel like R-Truth could do like some sweet ass like breakdance moves.
R-Truth got some skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Like, okay, Carmella, yeah, I'm probably, you know, she's like, maybe she could twerk, but, you know, Flossin's probably what's in her wheelhouse of dance moves. But R-Truth, I feel like he could really bust a move.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So that's what we got to look forward to this weekend with WWE TLC. Erica, I know you, as a huge fan of New Japan, are extremely excited about the announcement of Wrestle Kingdom, which is essentially their WrestleMania and happens in July or January.
Yeah,
not
it's
July.
The first. It's always January 4th. Every new year.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what day it falls on, which I kind of love.
Doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday.
It could be a Tuesday. Like, well, Wrestle Kingdom's on a Tuesday this year.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's kind of fantastic.
It's kind of amazing.
For what day of the week it falls on, we're doing it this day, and they're going to deal with it.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, this
imagine
year.
Imagine if the Royal Rumble was like Wednesday night.
I'd be bummed out.
Yeah.
I guess my Saturday, my Sunday, I love my Sunday nights when there's wrestling on. I wouldn't want to move to a Wednesday.
This year it does fall on a Friday, and I'm already, you know, thinking in the back of my mind, like, do I take the day off? Well, because, you know,
you want to see it live, so
it's
going to be
in Japan.
Right. Before, yeah.
So I think it starts at, 2 a.m. or something crazy?
Yeah, it's like 2 or 4 in the morning, you know, like something like not at all reasonable, but I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna have to do this.
I remember trying to watch Wrestle Kingdom last year live and only making it through like the first 3 matches, and I was just like, I'm sleepy. I got to go home.
But do you have the card up, Chuck?
I do.
Okay. You want to run down the card?
I can, and you can give us what you think about each of these particular matches. Kota Ibushi fighting Will Ospreay. I know both of those names. That's going to be great.
It's going to be a clinic. It's going to be a high-flying technical clinic. Very fast-paced. It's going to be so gif-able, it's going to make you puke.
Yeah. For sure. That's going to be Will Ospreay. It was Will Ospreay and Ricochet a couple years ago that had a really good match that everybody was sharing on the internet, where it was literally like about 3 minutes of counter after counter, flipping all over the ring kind of stuff.
Oh, nice.
That ended with them like face to face in a fighting stance. and it was really cool to see. So Ricochet now fights in NXT. Will Ospreay still killing it over in New Japan. Suzuki Gunn is going to fight Roppongi 3K versus the LIJ. I say that because I can't actually pronounce the LIJ.
You can, Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Thank you.
Wait, you what, can what, do what, it.
What?
Yeah, Los Ingobernables de Japón. The ungovernables of Japan.
Wow-y.
It's Spanish, yes. But it's a Japanese faction. Okay. Hilarious. It's good stuff. Well, they get it from Los Ingobernables from
Mexico.
Yeah. So I digress. Continue.
I'm a little bit bummed. When you sent me the card initially, that Minoru Suzuki.
You might actually really like Minoru Suzuki, James. First of all, he's 50.
Okay.
And
he used to be when he was younger.
Kind of a total babe.
He was kind of Finn Balor-esque when he was younger. But now he's just a scary old Japanese guy that slaps people really hard.
Oof. Like they have, so in New Japan, they have a recruiting system and they train up and coming wrestlers, and they call them young boys. And during all of their events, the young boys kind of like do security, and they kind of, you know, usher wrestlers to the ring and point them where they're going. Minoru Suzuki, as he comes to the ring, just like punch and kick any young boy that he wants. He just kills them.
Sounds abusive, like an abusive grandpa.
He's great.
Grandpa's drinking again.
Yep.
Get him in the ring.
Oh no, he's. Mwah. He's delightful.
Was it last year that he had the hair match?
Yeah.
That he lost, and then his guys in Suzuki Gun tried to pull him out of the match so he wouldn't, or, you know, pull him out of the ring and get him out of the arena so he wouldn't have to shave his head, mm-hmm. and he beat them up and then shaved his own head.
The guy's in that job.
Yeah. He's insane.
He's like, no, right. I lost the match, and I'm going to shave my head.
And then I'm going to beat the crap out of all my friends, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of, yeah. He's brilliant.
Another tag match going on, the Gorillas of Destiny, which is the Samoan faction of
the Gorillas of Destiny. I'm sorry. Like, who came up with that one? Oh my god.
Well, G-O-D. Well, they're Gorillas of Destiny.
Okay.
Gorillas
of
Destiny
now.
Is the they're the IWGP heavyweight tag champions. They are the tag team out of the Bullet Club.
Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa.
And then you have what, Young Bucks?
The Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, and then the LIJ, Sonata and Evil, fighting in a triple threat, a three-way match for the tag team titles.
That's going to be another gif-able one. That's going to be insane.
I've yet to ever see a bad Young Bucks match.
Well, yeah, there's that, and you have the underlying theme, you know, throughout the entire Wrestle Kingdom pay-per-view that all those elite guys, the Young Bucks, Kenny, I don't think Marty's booked. Cody is.
Yes.
Where, you know, there's rumors that they're starting their own promotion, so they may not be wrestling in New Japan for much longer. So this could be the last time we see them.
And the other exciting thing that a lot of WWE fans remember from a couple years ago is AJ Styles and I believe Gallows and Anderson wrestled at Wrestle Kingdom because it's on January 4th, and mm-hmm. then showed up 3 weeks later. That was when AJ Styles hit the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And nobody really knew. So you never know who's going to, make it from Japan, going to like wrestle their last date in Japan, and then 3 weeks later show up at the Royal Rumble.
Crazy.
So that could be pretty cool. A couple other matches going on. Juice Robinson going to fight Cody for the U.S. title.
That one's going to be a heart-filled match because you have Juice Robinson, who was in NXT. He asked for his release because they weren't utilizing him at all. He went to New Japan, trained with them, and really, you know, caught on with the fans and has got a big following and just has had great success. He's facing Cody, who is the current IWGP US champion. I think he's going to drop the belt just because the Juice storyline throughout this entire year has just been him building his way up and building up his career.
I'm just glad there's somebody that you can refer to as the Juice and it's not OJ Simpson.
Fair enough. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Or the guy from Sons of Anarchy.
And it was interesting to read that Cody Rhodes may have gotten a WWE offer. And turned it down.
Well, of course he did.
In the last couple of weeks.
Of course he did. Why wouldn't he?
Right. Chris Jericho is going to be there fighting Tetsuya Naito for the IC championship, the IWG IC championship.
Yeah, supposedly he's going to be available. Chris Jericho has said, no, I'm not wrestling Tetsuya Naito.
Right.
So it's been like this ongoing thing where it's booked. Will he show up? We just won't know.
Well, that's part of the fun of Chris Jericho is he really likes to kayfabe whether or not he's going to show up anywhere.
What a renaissance he's had this past year. Chris Jericho.
The last couple of years, really.
I know. But like this year, especially with the cruise and All In, he's been remarkable.
I would honestly, I've seen talk on the internet about he's met with some of the Impact Wrestling people.
Yeah.
I would love to see him show up in Impact for a month or two.
Well, he's tight with Don Callis, who runs the show now.
Right.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked at this point if he shows up in the Impact zone.
Right. Okada fighting Jay White in just a regular singles match. But both those very recognizable names for anybody who's like myself that like just kind of keeps track of New Japan.
Yeah, old-fashioned grudge match. Jay White turned on Okada, joined Bullet Club. He left Chaos. And they've just been kind of, you know, at each other's throats for the past couple months. So that one's going to be brutal.
Tell me about Kushida versus Ishimori. For the junior heavyweight.
Yeah, that one's been teased a lot. Have you seen Bone Soldier, Ishimori?
I don't think so.
He's like my height, but like jacked, like alarmingly jacked.
Okay.
So they've been having just, you know, they've been at it, you know, back and forth. They were going back and forth, but, you know, with each other at the junior tag tournament. And I think they had some in, you know, stuff between each other at Super Juniors, but they've been going back and forth, you know, just a big feud that's been probably like the biggest junior feud within the past few months. So that's another high flying, fast pace, good times.
All right, cool. And then their last match, their heavyweight title match, is Tanahashi versus Kenny Omega.
I think Kenny's gonna drop the belt.
You think so?
I think so.
Do you think Kenny's leaving?
I don't know necessarily if he's going to be leaving. I feel like they're going to give Tanahashi one last go with the belt because he basically carried that company, you know, especially in like the aughts and like the early tens before like Bullet Club really took off. You know, because I don't know how much time Tanahashi has left because his knees are shot. And he's exploring different avenues outside of the ring, like starring in movies and all that jazz. It's going to be interesting, the time limit of that match, because, you know, Kenny can go past an hour.
Sure.
And, you know, the longer the match goes, it's going to be very interesting to see. Very nice.
Prove it, Kenny.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how much Kenny's going to be able to push Tanahashi endurance-wise.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like you said, what is January 4th?
Yeah.
Wrestle Kingdom coming up. And then this week, like I was saying, WWE TLC. We'll talk to you after Wrestle Kingdom. I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about.
Just me screaming, going, oh my God, it was right. So great.
Right. All right. Stay tuned. Nerd Radio coming back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Roger me, welcome me, anything. Hello, hello, Earth.
And now, back to the nerds.
Welcome back to the Nerd Radio Podcast. And, of course, we're all over your social media feed at Nerd Radio 101. Al Beck.
Yes.
It is Chuck Bean hanging out with you. And it's been a while since we talked about comic books.
It has been, I feel like is partially my fault.
Well, not, maybe.
Yeah.
A little bit. Because I know you're not really actively reading a whole lot. And
I'm not really actively doing anything, so I feel so guilty about that. Co-hosting a nerdy, like I like that we've been bringing James in here because it's nice to, you know, like bounce the headlines around and stuff like that.
Right.
But I'm so far behind on everything.
Just absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Well, I brought a couple of things in to talk about because I also feel a little bit guilty.
Of them are Transformers books?
Zero.
Oh, whoa!
Zero, because those are all done. All my Transformers books are over. That's the last time we talked about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, which is maybe why we haven't done
it's a little bit.
I put the burden 100%. There we go. Shut off my microphone. It was only a matter of time before you shut off my microphone during this podcast. And that's enough of that.
I had the wrong one. I apologize.
I don't even know what the hell I was talking about. Oh, now this is Nerd Radio. This is like
distilled down this to its core.
This is like high potency nerd radio.
This is the diamond that is the nerd radio in the rough that we try and surround it with to make it more listenable for you, the listener, the viewer.
Yep, just a flaming pile of garbage. But I feel like what I was going to say was I had put 100% of the responsibility on you to bring in comic books to talk about. Well, and it's been nothing but Transformers.
Now it's heavily on me to sell you on comics.
Yes.
To try and get you back into it again.
Sell me on literacy.
A bit of a lapsed fan. Well, I got a couple.
Okay.
Let me start with the newest Mark Millar book, Prodigy.
Oh, hey, when did this come out?
This came out a couple of weeks ago. Artist by Raphael Albuquerque. It's about a man who is extremely smart and has been his entire life. And the main plot is that there is an alternate reality that is trying to invade ours. And they came to this Sherlock Holmes type of guy to try and help him in kind of a... what's the movie with Nicolas Cage where he steals the Declaration of Independence?
Oh, National Treasure.
National Treasure, yeah. That there's a huge conspiracy going on, and they've come to this Sherlock Holmesian character to try and help them stop it from happening.
Oh, my God. I remembered the name of a movie on Nerd Radio.
I know, right? It's strange times we're living in here.
I don't know what to believe in anymore.
Yeah, but that's the latest Mark Millar book. I believe it's also because it's got the Netflix emblem on the back of it, so it might be one of the things he's working on specifically for Netflix, which is exciting.
Magic Order was somehow connected to Netflix, isn't it? Or is going to be, or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a Netflix show. Because
that was
show.
One, when I went and cut, I cut my my subscription list down to practically nothing.
Right.
I think I got like 10 titles on there. One of them was a mini series that was coming to an end soon anyway. So I got like 10 titles. And I did continue to all things Millar, please. So I should probably have this Prodigy book. I'm not 100% sure, though.
Right.
But
because you still pick up a couple comics here and there.
I've got sort of this, like, you know, my must reads, my must characters, you know, that I just like, man, if I know I'm in a lull right now, maybe I'll skip some of these story arcs, but then it'll be like that missing tooth or something in the collection. If it's like, well, I don't have 6 months of Green Lantern. Wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, even with Grant Morrison writing that book now, which I'm still talking garbage about and I haven't read it yet.
I love you growling his name because you're upset.
Grant Morrison. Morrison.
Well, it's funny you bring up characters that...
Joe Pesci from Home Alone. Because the man can't not swear, but he was in a family movie.
Right. It's funny you bring up characters that you're interested in, but at the same time, you're kind of... you don't know about the current book or something like that. Mm-hmm. This week was the first issue of the relaunched Miles Morales Spider-Man book.
Sure. Totally. Okay. Who's writing it now?
His name is Saladin Ahmed. He just wrote he wrote a couple of books for Marvel over the last year. One of them being Black Bolt, the Inhuman.
Okay. Yep.
The art is by Javier Garan, who I've seen do a couple of different books. I think he just did Guardians of the Galaxy, actually. The last run of Guardians of the Galaxy. And, based on the first issue, I'll give it at least the first story arc.
Okay.
Because I was going into it, I was like, I don't know.
Part of the big draw begin with was Brian Michael Bendis for you, because you're not really a Spider-Man guy.
Like, right. I like Bendis. I like, and a huge draw originally with the Miles character was it was in the Ultimate Universe. So you got to see versions of characters you already knew, but in a different way. So when they moved him over to their main Marvel universe, I was like, I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you know what? Much like Bendis' Superman, which hasn't been thrilling me, I'll give this about 6 issues.
Yeah, I think I did bail on that. That was one of the things that, you know, I mean, I'm not really reading anything right now, as we just mentioned. But, you know, that was not one that I was.
You know, the weird thing, too, about Bendis' DC output, since it's been kind of like. It hasn't blown me away because he's got like 4 of his own books, Pearl and Scarlet and United States of Murder and stuff going on over there. And none of them have really been like, oh, this is the best book in comics.
Right.
Kind of comics. The really strange thing is he's doing Superman and Action Comics. And while I'm not thrilled about Superman, I kind of enjoy Action Comics more because it deals more with him as Clark Kent dealing with the Daily Planet as his like I for some reason I'm enjoying Bendis writing all the people at the Daily Planet
yeah
more than watching him try to convince me that I like Superman.
So do you think it is a disconnect of the character for you? Do you think that maybe Bendis just understands the Marvel universe better than the DC universe? Like, do you know?
I will put the blame squarely on my own shoulders. Okay. I think I have tried under different writers or artists to collect Superman, and it almost never works.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Superman is just not a character I enjoy.
Yeah. And he is, I mean, I think arguably the largest name as far as characters go in all of comic books.
I'm sure. Yeah.
You know? And you get people who are very passionate, especially like that are that read comics are very passionately either for or against Superman.
Right.
You know,
I mean, he's playing a huge part in the Doomsday Clock book, the Watchmen DC Universe crossover book, and I'm fine with that. Like, and that's Geoff Johns, so it's not surprising. Geoff Johns very much gets the DC Universe.
Yeah.
He can convince me of just about any character in the DC Universe that, like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. I'm on board.
I would love to hear from, like, anyone who's listening to this podcast.
Sure.
That is reading the Brian Michael Bendis stuff and maybe was a fan of the Marvel stuff. Like, I'd love to hear from you to see if, you know, maybe it is just your disconnect from Superman.
Right. Or if maybe
because I also ran into a similar issue. Now, I like Brian Michael Bendis, and it would be like I would give everything a try that he would write. I would certainly be interested in reading a Bendis book, but he didn't keep me the way he did for you.
Right.
You know, he's like one of your top writers, but he's a writer I like a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when I didn't connect with his Superman. And I'm sort of in the middle. I'm sort of neutral on Superman. I can take him or leave him. Right. I don't hate him. I don't, you know, whatever. So I didn't really take it any way. But it's just funny to me that that is one of your top writers, or at least has been,
right,
in the Marvel universe.
But for some reason, putting him on Superman is just not connecting.
Yeah, hit us up, Nerd Radio 101.
Yeah,
if you're on social media,
if you're enjoying the Superman books by Bendis,
or maybe you're not. Like, I want to hear from you as well, so you can do that. The Gmail is it Nerd Radio 101 on Gmail or is it?
Yeah,
okay.
It's nerdradio@gmail.com.
And I won't see any of it because Chuck does all that. But Al Beck, if you want to hit me up, Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even at gmail.com. So
very true.
There you go. There's four ways to annoy me.
Well,
I don't mean that.
I tell you.
I sort of do.
I tell you characters that I have been very invested in is the Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah.
And they've relaunched the Uncanny X-Men book. Currently, it's coming out 3 times a month. For the first story arc, which is called X-Men Disassembled.
Okay. Who's writing that? Anyone?
There are 3 writers, actually, on that book. Matthew Rosenberg, Ed Brisson, and Kelly Thompson. And the reason I bring Kelly Thompson up last is because she is also currently writing the Gambit and Rogue book, Mr. and Mrs. X.
Okay.
They got married at the end of the X-Men Gold thing when Kitty and Colossus didn't get married. They got married. There was a Gambit and Rogue miniseries that Kelly Thompson did, which was very fun, and then it led into this book.
I feel like I've read something from Kelly before.
It feels like the golden age of X-Men.
Does it?
Again, it feels like the X-Men are and it's not like, you know, when they put Grant Morrison on the book or when Joss Whedon took Astonishing X-Force. It's not like they put a huge name on the book and suddenly, or when Bendis took over the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, Kelly Thompson, I feel like, she's very obviously a fan of the 90s X-Men cartoons.
Okay.
And the books in the 90s, and she's got a very good feel for the X-Men, because that Mr. and Mrs. X book is fantastically
fun. Okay.
Really, really fun. And
but they got 3 different writers on Uncanny?
Yeah, well, because it's coming out 3 times a month.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, they've got 3 different artists and 3 different writers to try and, like, keep the book on time.
I hate this so much. You're telling me only things to like about this book, and I cannot get past the fact that they are, they have 3 different creative teams writing a book so they can put out 3 times a week. Like, no! Give it to the one. I don't know.
Okay.
It's bothering me.
On one hand, it comes out 3 times a month.
I know it's weird that I'm annoyed by something.
On one hand, it comes out 3 times a month for about 3 months, and then it goes to, like, the Batman schedule of, like, 2 issues a month.
Okay.
Okay. Also, think of it this way. It's like getting when they do the huge X-Men crossovers, where you'd have to pick up New Mutants, and you have to pick up X-Factor, and you have to pick up X-Force and all stuff, without the disconnect. Like, it's just Uncanny X-Men the next week.
Yeah.
I brought the last week they did
the one per book. Just stop trying to over.
Last week they did an X-Men holiday special.
Yeah.
And
yeah, who wrote this one?
There's a whole
How many people wrote this single issue?
A lot of people, because every page is a different, it's like an advent calendar.
Oh my God, damn it!
Every Chuck! Page is a different character and a different, you know, a different take on the holiday for that particular character.
Did you say that part of what your goal here was to resell me on comics? Because you're...
I'll tell you what, man. Typically when they do these annuals or these special issues, and they're a couple bucks extra, and I'm like, I don't know. I like the gimmick of this one.
Yeah?
I thought it was fun.
All right. Let's see. Who do we have here?
You get to see Old Man Logan in there. You get to see Psylocke and Jubilee. Iceman has a page in there written by Cena Grace, who's written the Iceman series.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just flipping through a comic book on a podcast now.
Yeah, well.
I was looking for, like, the writers and stuff. And,
right.
Yeah, and I came up with nothing.
Well, this week in the world of
Batman. It's not Grant Morrison.
Yeah, right. This week in the world of Batman, the second issue of Batman Damned came out.
Oh, did it?
Yep.
I can't remember if I dropped that or not from my list.
There is no bat penis in this one.
Well,
so if you were offended by it last time, then you are safe. However, there is a scene between Batman and Harley that gets a little sexual.
Oh,
I don't want to spoil it, but there's no nudity.
Okay,
this time around,
isn't it only like three issues or something like that?
Yep, this is the second of three issues, and
so I can't remember if I kept it on my list or not. This is the first one is actually might be one of the last issues of comics that I'd read.
Yeah,
I mean honestly, it's been that long, and I don't know whatever phase I am in where I'm not like. Reading or whatever, I didn't really particularly enjoy it. It really did nothing for me. But and I like Brian Azzarello,
right?
You know, so I don't know what's going on.
And then also,
I'm lost, Chuck. I don't know what's happening.
Well, maybe this will excite you. Also, this week was the first issue of a 6-issue miniseries based on The Batman Who Laughs from the Dark Knight's crossover event back in the summer, and it's written by Scott Snyder. And it features an alternate reality Batman who is essentially the Punisher, who walks into Arkham with a bunch of guns.
Okay.
And mows some people down.
That's kind of cool.
It's a mystery because it starts at the beginning with Bruce Wayne, the Batman of the main DC universe, stopping a theft of a whole bunch of coffins. And in one of the coffins is Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
So he has to figure out, like, wait a second. Like, how is this Bruce Wayne alive?
So here's what you're going to want to do with this series, Chuck, because I assume you're going to pick up all six of them.
Yeah.
You read the first issue?
Yeah.
Okay. So you've read the first issue. You enjoyed it.
I did.
Okay. Now, continue to collect the subsequent five of these.
Okay.
Don't read any of them until all six are out, and then just trade it.
I didn't think of that.
Because that's what you and I have learned time and time again for Scott Snyder.
That's true.
He's so much more enjoyable in, like, a trade.
Yep.
So... you read that first issue and you get hooked.
Yep.
And you go, you know if you're going to be into it or not with that first issue.
Right.
And then you just set it aside and wait till it's all out and then read it all in one go. Because you're going to get confused and lost and not enjoy yourself around issue.
That's true.
Three.
Yep.
You know, by issue five, you're completely like, I don't even know if I'm going to buy this final issue. I guess I will because I've got all the other ones.
So I need to sit down.
And then you'll go back and read all six in a row and go, holy crap, that was awesome.
Right. Well, that's how he hooked me in this particular issue is with a unique take on why Batman doesn't kill the Joker. And it leads into Snyder's run on the Batman book before Tom King took over.
Yeah.
There's some stuff in there that I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense in relation to everything I've read that he's done already. So... That's what I'm reading currently. What are you reading now? Nothing.
I got a text message earlier.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, at least you can still read.
You know what? You.
All right. Hit us up on our social media, Nerd Radio 101. And, of course, hit up Comic Shop Locator on the internet and find the comic book store near you. Check out the books I was talking about. Check out some new books. And then hit us up on our social media and let us know what you are up to.
DMX. I gave DMX a workout today. Sorry.
You did? Yeah, DMX. It was good to get DMX back on the show.
Yeah. I usually don't summon him because you have to do all that extra work, you know. But you got some time to kill today. So.
I do. I got a long day ahead of me, so I will include DMX on the show, and we'll see if he shows up next week.
Yeah.
All right. It's another good Nerd Radio.
Do we have to tell them that?
It's another good Nerd Radio.
It's another Nerd Radio.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out.
Yeah, in theory, sure.
Nobody puts Erica in the corner.
Oh. Oh, my heart. Thank you. I always want someone to say that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.